Welcome to Love Fellowship Believers, a non-denominational church desiring to fulfill God's will. We invite you to join us in an atmosphere of praise and worship in the powerful teachings of Christ delivered in a most creative way that reaches every age. Located at 1900 Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Greensboro, North Carolina, on the wonderful campus of Gillespie Park Elementary School. This year, we're focusing on building a foundation solidified by grace, with walls made by faith, and our homes being filled with salvation by being united in living devotion. We promise you, visiting us online or in the sanctuary will be an experience that will be life-changing and one you'll never forget. We hope to see you soon. Services begin at 11 a.m. Have a blessed day.
When you really listen to that song and you really start to understand what it's talking about, to be able to look at some of the situations in your life and be able to some of the struggles and some of the things that you've always constantly dealt with, there ought to be a time that you get to, you just say amen over it. That you just say amen over whatever situation it is. You know what? I'm not going to deal with that anymore. I'm giving it over to the Lord. And for that, amen. God, it is well with my soul. Amen. Amen. Somebody ought to be happy about the fact of being able to take their situation and their circumstance to the Lord. And then taking it to the Lord, knowing that it's going to be all right. It's just simply that. Amen. 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 Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22 is where we're going to be coming from. Very, 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 very familiar scripture. Very familiar scripture. If you're a believer, I would think that you have read through this at least one time already in your life before. Amen. 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 Does anybody else feel happy? I don't know about anybody else, but that song blessed my, that just blessed me. That just blessed me to be able to know that I can go to the Lord and say, it's finished. It's taken care of. Amen. 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 God's got it. God's got it. Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 39. Amen. It reads, Jesus said unto them, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Amen. Let us pray. Father God, first and foremost, we say thank you. God, thank you again for this time and this moment. God, again for another opportunity to stand and to preach your word. God, I pray and hope, Father God, that we would be able to share a word in a way that you would have it to be done. God, ask that you would open up our ears, our hearts, and our minds, that we would be receptive to what thus saith the Lord. Why, God? Because we need you. We need you every single step of the way. There's nothing that we're able to do without you. Even as you said in your scriptures, Father God, the branch doesn't just hang out there by itself. The branch is yet connected to the vine and yet to the tree. God, we need you, Father. Help us, Father God, to get what it is that we need to get so that we wouldn't just be hearers, but to be doers as well. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen and amen. Amen. You may be seated. If you're writing scripture for today, I got to do this a little differently today. If you're writing scripture for today and you're writing down your title and you're writing down some notes, the notes that I want you to write down today is a believer's response. The title for today's sermon is a believer's response. Amen. Do y'all mind? A believer's response. A believer's response. Here's what's got me tore up. Here's what's got me tore up. Believers act more worldly than believers do. Believers act more worldly than they ought to. Believers are more caught up or more concerned about stuff that's going on in the world than they are about God's word. A believer's response. This commandment here in Matthew, you'll find it scattered all throughout the Bible and other Gospels. You'll find that Jesus responds and he says, this is what you do. I don't need you to get caught up with all these other laws. I don't need you to get caught up with all this other stuff in the New Testament. Why? Because I've come to fulfill the law. And everything hinges on these two things. The first is that you should love the Lord thy God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. Unfortunately, that's not what believers are doing. Unfortunately, believers are pulling out Jesus when they need him. Unfortunately, not until somebody goes through do they start to call upon the name of Jesus. With all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. That means there should be no area in your life that Jesus is not welcome. Not one area in your life. Why am I going through? Why do I still have this issue and all this other stuff going on? Because you're not putting him first. You're not putting him first in everything that you do. In everything that you do. It says the second is like unto the first, that you should love your neighbor as I've loved you. Love your neighbor. Love your neighbor. Love your neighbor as thyself. Love your neighbor as thyself. A believer's response. In picking up this Bible, last couple of Sundays, our sermon text has come from the book of Genesis. It's come around between the first and third chapters, I believe, is where we've been. In the very beginning, did you ever notice that in the very beginning, God's desire was to have a relationship with man? That's God's desire. The Bible talks about God communing with Adam in the garden. And if he was communing with Adam, it says that they were both one, that even though Eve had not yet been formed, he was communing with them both. And then this great fall comes. But even as you continue to read on throughout the Bible, God is still looking for a relationship with his people. He's still looking for a relationship with his people. That would have me to surmise that by reading this Bible, relationship is important. And so since the very beginning, since the very, very beginning, the enemy has tried to attack relationship. The very beginning, he's tried to attack relationship. The very thing that God says that he wanted with his creation, the enemy did his best to slide in and to try to mess it up. Even as God wrapped himself in flesh in the form of Jesus, the Bible declares that there was 40 days that he was in the wilderness being tempted by the enemy. And what was the enemy trying to do there? Still trying to mess up relationship. Trying to mess up relationship through disobedience. If we as believers were to take this scripture to heart, with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our soul, to actually put God first, what would our world look like? What would our church look like? There's more strife and mess that goes on in the church than there ought to be. There's more folk that have been given a position and are so tight on their position on what they do that they throw relationship out the door. There's folk that because of something was said or something was done to them when they were a little girl or when they were a little boy, that they still hold on today for the reason why they don't go to church. Relationship. There are some churches that you can go to that you won't receive love, all because you sat in a place that was supposedly somebody else's seat. Oh, come on, let's let the truth be told. There are some churches that you can go to that you might come in and you didn't have a chance to get something to eat. You didn't get a chance to get something to drink. And then you got ushers that'll be willing to try to push you out the door. We preach and we say that this place is supposed to be a hospital for those that are hurt. So how do most churches respond to the drunkard that comes through the door? With all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul, that we would put God first. That we would actually be the example of love ourselves. As a believer, if you're looking for somebody that's perfect and got it all together, you're not going to find him. you're not going to find her. The only one that you'll find that can fit that description will be Jesus. And so look past folk issues. Look past folk stuff. Stop getting so caught up on what everybody else considers to be such a bad thing, and understand that you're dealing with God's creation. Imagine if all your stuff was exposed right on your face. All your issues. Imagine if you walked around and just had liar written across your forehead. If you just had gossiper written across your forehead. If you just had adulterer written across your forehead. Addict written across your forehead. Whatever it is that your issue is that was written across your forehead that couldn't be hidden that everybody else could see. Is that how you would want to be treated? A believer's response. Here in Matthew, we find that Jesus says there's two things that all the laws, if you go ahead and read verse 40, it says, and these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Everything that you've written, everything that you've read in the Old Testament, all the prophets that have said whatever they said, these two commandments hold all of that together. That you would put God first. That you would love him. Why? Because he's God. That you would love him with everything that you got. And that you would love one another as you love yourself. Over in Colossians, turn with me, would you? Over in Colossians chapter 3. Over in Colossians chapter 3. So we have Matthew that says, this is how we're supposed to do. Put God first in everything and love one another as you love yourself. And now we go over to Colossians chapter 3 and we say, okay, let's get a little bit of detail of what that looks like. Colossians chapter 3, when you start looking through Colossians chapter 3, you're going to see a lot of things. Verse number 2 throws it right out there. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. As a believer, that's supposed to be my response. That I'm more concerned about what's up here rather than I'm concerned about what's going on down here. If you go ahead and start to look through this chapter of Colossians, and I'm not going to name everything out because I want you to pick up the Bible and read it for yourself, because I don't want you saying Pastor Webb said it. But once you start going through this chapter here, Colossians chapter 3, you're going to see that all kinds of things is here. Verse 8, but now ye also put up all of these. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. As a believer, this is supposed to be your response. This is supposed to be our response. Imagine that if every believer you came across, that's how they were. Imagine if every believer that you came across put God first. Imagine if every believer you came across said, you know what? What's going on down here is just what's going on down here. What I'm concerned about is what's going on up there. I'm concerned about whether my name is written in the book. I'm looking forward to where my everlasting is going to be. That's my concern. And so with that being my concern, I just choose to love everybody. I just choose to respond the best way that I can in love. It doesn't mean that folk gonna get on my nerves. It don't mean that I ain't gonna like everybody all the time, but I choose to love. That's my choice. Laws and commandments is not my religion, but love is my religion. Imagine if that was the believer's response. And so when it became time to point out somebody's issues or to help somebody else with what they was going through, instead of trying to beat them down, instead of trying to tell them how unworthy they are, what if we just responded in love? What if we treated our family members like we treat strangers? I know some people are going, what? What are you talking about? What happens when you're in a grocery store You don't know that lady at the cashier. You don't know that man at the cashier. But you're just as polite as you can be. You might be in the aisle in the store, and maybe there's something on the top shelf, or maybe there's something on the bottom shelf, or maybe there's something that somebody dropped. You go ahead and respond, and hopefully you would try to help that person, would you not? You saw an older lady or an older man struggling to get his groceries in the car. You don't even know who they are. Would you help them? Maybe there was somebody in line in front of you, and they came up just a little bit short. They wouldn't buy nothing, no extra. They was just trying to buy something for they some formula. They was trying to buy some Pampers, and they just needed a dollar or two. Would you reach in your pocket and give it to them? What if we treated our loved ones the way that we treat strangers? A believer's response. But it seems like those that are closest to us are the ones that we respond to with anger. We respond to with wrath. That we start to have filthy communication to come out of our mouth. As the Bible tells us that life and death lies within your tongue. But you'd rather say something hurtful to the one that you say that you love. It's right here in Colossians. As you start to look through it, I just lost my page, give me a second. As you start to look through Colossians, it's right here. Verse number 9, lie not to one another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. Lie to loved ones all the time. But I'm a believer. Really? God's given us instruction here how we should respond, how we should deal with one another. It says, as a believer, down here in verse number 12, it says, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and behold, vows of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you also, do ye. Standing at the grocery store, somebody step on your shoe. Oh, excuse me, you real quick to forgive that person. But in your own household, you'll walk around and not even talk. In your own household, you go to one side of the house and I go to the other side of the house. Seems foolish right now, don't it? But it happens all the time. But you, the believer, that you love the Lord God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul. Over in Psalms, I believe it talks about having fear of God. Don't fear nothing else, but fear God. But if I put him first in everything that I do, and I love him, and then his second commandment says, this is always just almost it's right below, just as important as the first one. That you love your neighbor as you love yourself. So when you get mad with yourself, is that how you treat yourself? Or when you mess up and you know that you messed up, you want somebody to forgive you. You want somebody to love you anyhow. You want somebody to love you in spite of your shortcomings. You want somebody to do something that you ain't willing to do for somebody else. The world keeps up with that tit for tat stuff. The world keeps a score. Well, you did this, so I'm going to do that. Well, you did that, well, I'm going to do this. The world keeps up with that score. Not the believer. The believer says, you did me wrong. I know you did me wrong. You know you did me wrong. But I love you anyhow. Because although you might have done me wrong, I know I've done wrong too. I want to be forgiven. That's what we just read there in Colossians. It says forgiving one another, right? Verse 13, forgiving one another. It says 14, and above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. put on love. A believer's response. It's a shame that as believers, a very simple commandment is so difficult to follow. A very simple commandment is so difficult to follow. The one that's hard for me is to love my enemy. I can understand that being an issue. It's hard to love my enemy. I can understand even pray for those that despite believe. I can understand all of that. It's hard for me when I look at the story of David and Saul and how Saul was yet still trying to kill David, how David had already been anointed king and David already had everything else in order the way it was supposed to go. And David had plenty of opportunity to take Saul out. But he didn't. He patiently waited for his time. That's confusing to me. Wow, David, it would have been easy to go ahead. But see, David had something that we as believers need to make sure that we get. That I'm going to put God first. And although Saul is after me, and although Saul is trying to kill me, and although Saul might not be doing everything he's supposed to be doing, he was yet anointed by God. And Scripture says, I don't need to touch him. God's going to take care of that. As a believer, we're supposed to put God first. Over in John chapter 13. Turn with me. John chapter 13. Would feel real good to preach today, but I need somebody to get this. John chapter 13, verse number 34. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. A believer's response. God established relationship to be important throughout the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation. God is sharing relationship. Even after man messed up and man fell, God is still trying to reestablish relationship. What did the fall cause? The fall caused separation. Fall of man caused separation. This great gospel that we preach, this great gospel that we share, this great gospel that we study, all ends on the story of Jesus Christ reestablishing relationship, making it a way for relationship to be reestablished. That if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he rose from the dead on the third day as he says that he was, you shall be saved. Saved from what? Eternal separation. Your relationship will be reestablished. I remember when I was growing up, I think it was G.I. Joe. Was it G.I. Joe? I think it was G.I. Joe. And they had a little theme song and they was going through the thing. And in that theme song, they said, knowing is half the battle. Is it G.I. Joe? Was it G.I.? A little old, I'm sorry. I think it was G.I. Joe. Some people going, G.I. Joe, what are you talking about? I don't know. Knowing is half the battle. If you understand the history of relationship, maybe you will have a better understanding of why your relationship gets attacked so hard. Why your relationships get attacked so hard. The Bible declares that you can do a lot as one individual. But when we come together in unity, there's so much more we can do. in marriages, God says that the man would leave his family and that he would cleave to his wife, that two would become one. A rope made with one strand might be strong, but a rope made with two strands is even stronger. Rope made with three strands is even stronger than that. God first, man and woman. Made even stronger when it comes together. Revelations, I believe it's Revelations chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. You turn with me. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth was passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. I told you from Genesis Revelation, relationship. And what does he talk about relationship? He says relationship, that the church would be the bride, that God would be the husband, that they would come together as two come together in marriage to be with one another forever. This is why relationships are attacked so much. This is why in your marriage you might go through sometimes. This is why, as a father, as a mother, and as your children, that you might have bump heads sometimes. As brothers and sisters, why you might bump head sometimes. Relationship is important. If it ain't important to nobody else, it's important to God. This is why relationships are attacked. If maybe, if somebody understands why relationships are attacked, understand what the importance of relationships are according to the Bible, maybe somebody will have a better understanding of why maybe you're going through what you go through. If the enemy can attack your relationship, look at what just broke down. If the enemy can attack directly in your household, that's a direct hit. Please understand that the enemy is not playing horseshoes. It's not, let me get as close as I can get. No, every time he shoots, he's going directly for a bullseye. Because his goal is not just to mess up relationship, but his goal is to steal, kill, and destroy. And every time that you're unwilling to reconcile, every time that you're unwilling to forgive, every time that you're unwilling to give some morsel of understanding, every time that you're willing to open up your mouth and to speak against the other person in the relationship, to speak against your spouse, to speak against your child, to speak against whoever it is. Every time you do that, you're giving the enemy another shot. And the enemy doesn't want to maim you. He doesn't want to hurt you. But he wants to destroy you. Don't think that the relationships that you have are by coincidence. They're not. Every relationship that we have, God has allowed to happen for a reason. The struggles and the strife that you go through in relationship, guess what it's designed to do? Strengthen you. strengthen your relationship. Keep on living. You'll go through enough in your relationship that you'll get to a point and say, you know what, it don't make a difference what happened now. I know that I've made it through what I've made it through, what we've made it through, and if we can make it through that, we're good. Sit down and talk to an older mother in the church. Sit down and talk to an older father in the church. Somebody that's been married, I don't know, 20 plus years. Somebody that might have lost their spouse. There's very few that I've found that have been married at least 20 years that has lost a spouse that will turn around and say that they're ready to get married again. Sister Stella, how long were you married? Twenty-three years before Bishop passed away. Ready to get married again? Possibly. Say it again. If God says it. Amen. I heard that. Takes a lot of work. Takes a whole bunch of work. I asked my grandmother. They had been married 53 years. No, baby. Me and Arian haven't been married 20 years. Not yet. She might be biased because she got the best husband in the world, you know. So, amen. It's not going to be hard. It's going to be impossible to replace me. Amen. As it would be impossible for me to replace her. You're just going to go through things in relationship. Don't have the world's response. I'm not talking about nobody, but I'm just being truthful with you. There's folk that have come to me, Pastor, that they're believers, and have come to me, Pastor, I'm ready to call it quits. Well, why are you ready to call it quits? Because I just can't stand the way that he puts glasses in the cabinet. No, Pastor, this is it. This is it. Every time I open up the dishwashers, the forks are turned upside down instead of right side up. And I just can't take it no more. You get to that point that something as small as that, it's causing the issue. Have you always responded with the Christian response? Has your spouse always responded with the Christian response? As a believer. Church, it's getting closer. I don't know any other way to say it. It's getting closer. Time is ticking down. You want to spend your time and your energy with trivial stuff, you go right ahead. But as a believer, I would hope that you would choose to be more concerned about what the Lord got going on rather than what you see with your eyes. I would hope to be Christ-like, that you would also have the same love and devotion and importance about relationships in your life that Christ has with you. God gives the order. There's God first, there's Christ, there's man, and there's woman. We always hear the familiar part. Wives, obey your husbands. It's right in the sight of the Lord. Amen. But husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Relationship. That's what it is. If relationship is important to God, how is relationship not important to you as a believer? It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense for relationship not to be important. Amen. A believer's response. Relationship. Colossians chapter 3, pick it up and read it for yourself. Do a study. Come on, everybody got smartphones and you got Google. Do a study. Look up what God says about relationships. Look at how God says we ought to respond as believers. And check yourself. Amen? Amen. Let's put our hands together for the Lord. Please don't let the enemy disrupt what God has sent to you as a blessing. God put someone in your path. There's relationships. The Bible talks about it. There's three different kinds of relationships. There's relationships that are momentary. There's relationship that you just meet somebody in passing or whatever, and hey, how you doing, and bam. There's relationships that last for a season. You might notice that you've had somebody in your life for a month, somebody in your life for a couple of months. It might even be a few years, but it's just a season that relationship goes on. And then there are relationships that last a lifetime. Whatever the relationship is in your life, God has allowed it to happen for a reason. And if it's important to Him, it ought to be important to you. Now, please don't get me confused. When there are times and it's time for a relationship to end, you'll know it. If you're doing that first commandment, if you're loving the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, if you're doing that, when it comes time for the relationship to end, you'll know it. And it won't be a hard thing to do. What I found is when it has become time for a relationship to end, God just so easily just moves that person right on out the way. And in moving that person out the way, guess what? It doesn't bother me. I know that that's the Lord. But if my wife was to come up and say, oh, that's it, it's over. Whoa. The Lord ain't told me that. We need to have a conversation. What's going on? We ain't having a shouting match. I'm not going to call out a name. I'm not going to do any of that. Let's talk. A believer's response is personal decision time. If after listening to today's message, after listening to songs that have been sung, if.